So tonight we will read Act 3 of Shivadagda Madhava. In the last act, Act 2, Purnamasi came to see what was wrong with Radha because she had heard that she had many difficulties and was acting very strangely. And she found that she was burning in the flames of her separation from Krishna. She told the two girls, Lalita and Vishakha, to take a letter written by Radha to Krishna, expressing her feelings directly to Krishna, which they did. But he showed indifference to Radha. And if you remember, in the very first scene, Purnamasi came with some candies. He said, "These are for you. This is because Radha has just been married." So Krishna showed his indifference, and then the girls became very upset, and Vishakha decided to take the garland of Krishna back to Radha to keep her alive, and Lalita decided to go and tell Purnamasi what had happened. So then, meanwhile, Krishna regretted his decision and decided to write a letter to Radha, and he went to a beautiful rose garden to write the letter. Meanwhile, Radha decided to commit suicide. And so she went to the bank of the Jamuna, and it just so happened that she came to the same rose garden. And then at a very important moment when Radha was meditating on Krishna, because there was no picture for her to see, Krishna appeared before the girls, and they were very astonished. And as they were just about to speak with Krishna, elderly Jyotila arrived on the scene, and with very harsh words she brought the girls home, and Krishna also decided that he would go to see Purnamasi for help. So Act 3 begins with Purnamasi, and Lalita is already there. So Purnamasi says to Lalita, "Child, it is because of me that embarrassed Krishna does not welcome your friend's company." Lalita says, "Noble lady, the inscrutable hearts of great souls are not at once revealed." Purnamasi says, "Look, there in the Kadamba grove, Krishna is coming with Madhu Mangal." Then she describes that Krishna's flute is very beautiful, bedecked with jewels and set ablaze by diamonds and golden flute that he's carrying. The auspicious flute pleasing to Krishna is glittering in his hand with transcendental brilliance. Krishna is very regretful when he enters, and he says to Purnamasi, "The edge of her garment, held by a smiling friend, embarrassed Radha, is now averse to me. Alas, Madhu Mangal, the blossoming flower of the Kanjan-eyed Radha's pastimes, has kidnapped the bumblebee of my heart." And then with longing he said, "Radha once said the following words, 'Oh friend, my favorite pearl necklace has broken, and now I must search for the scattered pearls.' And using this trick, she affectionately glanced at me from the corner of her charming, bewildered, beautiful eyes, even in the presence of her elders." Purnamasi, seeing Krishna coming from a distance, she says apprehensively, "Krishna's agitated eyes move to and fro, and his sighs wilt his jasmine garland. Who is the fortunate, beautiful girl that makes him always think of her? How can there be any doubt? Radha is the cause of this." Krishna comes to Purnamasi, he approaches, he offers his respects. He says, "Noble lady, I offer my respects to you." Purnamasi says, Krishna, you are the saintly son of the Gopas king, and your hundreds of pastimes and the power of your arms are all well known in Vraj. Why do you trouble this saintly girl Radha? Madhumangal says, contrary old lady, please stop. It is my dear friend who is troubled by your Radha. So troubled that he does not know where he has lost his crown, his buffalo horn, his stick and his other things. Krishna says, embarrassed, noble lady, this talkative boy is lying. I will tell you the truth. My heart does not love your gopis, Purnamasi says. This boy tells the truth. You are full of splendor and greatness, and you are the resting place of a circle of spiritual values. You are full of all wonders, and you are the home of all auspiciousness and splendid handsomeness. O Krishna, when you play your flute, your music loosens the garments of the doe-eyed gopis, even whilst they stay in their homes. In other words, you steal their minds. Madhumangal said, noble lady, you have only told of his flute-playing pastimes. He did many other things you do not know about. This very day, I saw him take from the Jamuna's shore and throw over his shoulder the garments of many gopis. Krishna knits his eyebrows to check Madhumangal. And then he says, noble lady, even though the sound of my flute is charming like that, your gopis remain gloriously chaste. Lalita in Sanskrit says, some king of rogues must have given you a mantra or a potion to bring others under your control, and this is how you broke to pieces the sacred, splendid household happiness of the gopa's playful wives. Madhumangal says, Lalita speaks the truth. Without the ability to chant powerful mantras, how could Krishna, by nature more mild and cooling than a fresh lotus flower, embarrass so many demons as tall as great mountains? Lalita said, O gentle one, remembering him makes us burn like fire. So please don't tell us how cooling your friend is. Madhumangal says, although you are cooling, the gopis say you are very hot. So by touching you, I will see if it is true. And then he very respectfully places his hands on Krishna's chest. And then he goes, oh, Lalita speaks the truth. She thinks for a moment and then he says, Lalita, I understand. I understand. Your Radha is hot. Entering his heart, she has made Krishna, who is more cooling than millions of moons, hot also. Lalita says, saintly Brahmana, how could my friend, her delicate nature overwhelmed with limitless love, enter into your friend's heart, which is as hard as a diamond? Madhumangal becomes angry and says, Fickle girl, my friend is overcome with love for your friend. Cheating sleep like the king of yogis, he's always meditating on her. He's let the whole thing out. And Krishna turns his face away in embarrassment and he says, friend, stop these lying jokes. And Lalita says to herself, my dear friend is very fortunate. Purnamasi says, handsome boy, stop these jokes and listen to what I say. O Lord Krishna, you are just like an ocean. The river of Srimati Radharani has reached you from a long distance, leaving far behind the tree of her husband. breaking through the bridge of social convention and forcibly crossing the hills of her elder relatives. Coming here because of fresh feelings of love for you, that river now received your shelter, but now you are trying to turn her back by the waves of unfavorable words. How is it that you are spreading this attitude? Madam Mangal says, "Oh mother, your intelligence is so pure. So why do you ask such a question? Look, I have made a bow of flowers to frighten away the horrible cuckoo birds." Purnamasi says, "A boy with a face like the moon." Seeing her friends carefully guarding the door and smelling the fragrance of Madhavi flowers, this girl trembles in fear. On her porch, seeing a Chandrakanta jewel begin to melt, this doe-eyed girl falls unconscious. Now there's a deep meaning to this, because these different elements remind Radha of Krishna and Krishna of Radha. So then Krishna says to himself, "Oh, it must be very painful for her." And Purnamasi says, "Handsome boy, neglect of another's love brings very bitter results. Setting on the horizon, the red sun now plunges everything into darkness." Ashamed, Krishna bows his head. Purnamasi, again glancing at Krishna, she becomes very happy and she says to herself, "Fortunately, Krishna's eyes are smiling and his right eye is winking." Then she says openly, "O bliss of Gokul, now that the sun has set, please decorate this mango grove. One of my friends will bring you to the right place." Krishna, embarrassed, says, "As the noble lady says," and then accompanied by Madhu Mangal, he exits for the mango grove. Then Purnamasi says, "Daughter Lalita, now I am very happy. Let us now go and get Radha." Then they both exit, and Radha comes onto the stage with her friend Vishakha. She says, "My dear friend, although I have drunk the coconut nectar of Krishna's conversation, mixed with the camphor of his smile, because I have not also drunk the nectar of the touch of his body, I am broken and withered as if I had drunk poison." Vishakha, "O girl who does not know your own glory, even though your love for him has made Krishna fall in love with you, you still worry that you are wretched and fallen." Purnamasi enters and says, "Daughter Lalita, I am eager to make your friend describe her love. Please, you be silent." Lalita says, "As you order, so it will be." Purnamasi approaches Radha and she says with feigned, that means make-believe, pretending to be unhappy, she says to Radha, "O girl with beautiful eyes, with sweet words, Krishna again and again begs to meet you. He knows that no other medicine will cure the fever that burns in his heart." Radhika becomes very embarrassed and shy, and she says, "Why should I be shy?" And she folds her hands and she says, "If it is licked by a blazing forest fire that also licks the clouds, what can save a delicate Ranjan vine but the sudden appearance of a dark rain cloud?" Purnamasi says, Why do you, who are simply Mukara's granddaughter, just a village girl, why do you yearn to attain a person who is very difficult to attain? A person whose lotus feet the goddess of fortune personally massages. Be peaceful and listen to my words. Don't become like a curious child who wants to grasp the moon which is moving in the sky. Radha's voice becomes choked with emotion and she says, affectionate friend, on your repeated request, I will give up my love for Krishna. But please give me a blessing. Bless me that I will become a bumblebee, attracted at sunset by the fragrance of a forest flower garland. In this verse, Radha hints that she is about to commit suicide because her love for Krishna is frustrated. Vishakha says, noble lady, please rescue Radha. Please rescue her. Her eyes are wide open and her condition is very frightening. Unamasi becomes agitated and says, alas, alas, the black snake of calamity is forcibly dragging this girl away. Then she lovingly embraces Radha and she says, child, be peaceful. Be peaceful. You are overcome by love, so please listen. Yearning for a moment's glimpse of you, Lord Shiva and other powerful masters of the world perform severe austerities. How can I properly praise the results of your past pious deeds? O beautiful, slender girl, thirsting to see you, Krishna has become withered and pale. Lalita says, his flute is now garlanded with songs of your pastimes, and all his activities are making ornaments for you. For him your names are very sweet and fragrant. O Radha, Krishna sees you in every flowering vine in the Vrindavan forest. Radha begins to become calm. She says to herself, fickle mind, even now you do not believe this. Purnamasi says, daughter Lalita, you are very intelligent. So when Vishakha brings Krishna under the mango tree, please hide Radha in the Kanikara grove, apart from all the other gopis. Now I shall go and do my duties. And Purnamasi leaves. Vishakha immediately also leaves to go and find Krishna and bring him to the mango tree. And Lalita and Radha leave to go and stay in the Kanikara grove. Then Vishakha, walking a great distance, she says, oh, I can see Krishna there under the mango tree. Krishna is looking this way and that way. He says, the brilliant and charming molten gold circle of the sun now enters the ocean's waters, bewildering the elephants and anointing the owl's eyes. Now darkness covers Vrindavan. Anxiously looking, he says, why has that gopi not yet entered the pathway of my eyes? Then turning around, he looks behind and he says, thinking of religion and morality, did Radha decide not to come? Or was she stopped by the harsh words of her superiors? Or did a great calamity arise and make her fall motionless and unconscious. Perhaps that is why, even though the moon now rises, no messenger has yet come. Vishakha, hiding behind the flowering vine, she says to herself, Krishna is now looking on the pathway that I walked. For a moment, I will joke with him. So Krishna is happily says, oh, he sees Vishakha coming, moving her hand. Vishakha is there. She's gesturing to me. So Krishna approaches and he says, friend, when I approach you, it is like approaching Radha. It is as if Radha and Vishakha are no different to each other. And Vishakha turns her face down and looks very sad. Krishna says, friend, why are you silent? Vishakha says, oh boy with a face like the moon, I am so unfortunate. What can I say? Krishna says, what is it? Vishakha says, oh handsome one, Saraswati does not allow graceful words to come from me. So be it. It is not right to hide the truth. O Prince of Braj, the wretched Abhimanyu has just taken my dear friend Radha to Mathura. Krishna, alarmed. When was she taken? Vishakha, noble Purnamasi was with you. Grief-stricken, Krishna says, Vishakha, why was she taken? Vishakha, it was suspected that she had fallen in love with you. Krishna, why was it suspected? Vishakha, who could not see the symptoms? Krishna, so unhappy, he says. From the Malaya hills, an uncivilized breeze withers my body. The moon angrily showers me with sparks. The buzzing bees rebuke me. Without Radha, I cannot live for a moment. Krishna is totally overcome. And then Vishakha changes her mood. She feels a little unhappy that she did that. And so now she tries to change her mood, and with respect she says, O bliss of Gokul, please be peaceful. Be peaceful. I was only joking. Although Radha is unhappy, her life is protected by the Ranjana garland that you gave her. Krishna says, very relieved, Rogue, you teased me. Vishakha says, you don't remember your own virtues? Krishna says, please describe the love of my beloved. Vishakha says, when from far away the syllables of your name touch her ears, her beautiful eyes become wild. And she trembles again and again. And if somehow she sees a dark rain cloud, her heart yearns to place her arms around your shoulders. Krishna suddenly sees Radha. He says, I see my beloved hurrying here. He sees her coming. And Radha says, consoled by Lalita, Radha enters. She says, stopped by some obstacle, could my friend not go to him? She's worried that Vishakha has not seen him. Maybe Krishna did not believe her words. Alas, fate is cruel to me, for from far away I cannot smell the fragrance of Krishna's flower garland. She has not yet seen that Krishna is there. Vishakha comes up and Vishakha says, look, bowing her head again and again, looking at the tree-shaded path, one moment standing up and the next moment frustrated, bewildered and sitting down, then taking two steps or three steps and seeing Lalita and then turning back. Radha, devastated by the desire to meet you, now stands before you. Krishna says, "The luster of her face eclipses the moon, and her sweet smiling is like a lotus-filled lake, her nails defeating the stars, and her eyes like those of a doe. She makes the beauty of early evening seem no more important than a single blade of grass." Radhika takes on a mood of dejection and she says, "Do other girls stop him with the fragrance of their crooked glances? Why now does the whole world seem to be swallowed by splendid moonlight? Does Krishna not come to this cottage of flowering vines?" She has not seen Krishna yet. Krishna approaches Radha and says, "It is Purnamasi's great mercy that this moonlight shines so pleasantly." And Radhika says to herself, "Oh, this is the most glorious person." And she becomes totally overwhelmed. Vishakha says, "With sweet pastimes and new jokes, the fortunate gopis delight Krishna. But my own good fortune is pathetic and worthless, for in my presence my dear friend Radha rolls on the ground." Lalita says, "Radha, a lover more charming than the swans in the Manasi lake, stands before you. Don't be paralyzed by fear. Now boldness will fulfill your desires." Dragging Radha as if by force to Krishna, Lalita says, "Seeing you from afar, the swan of my friend's heart fell into the lotus flower of your face and became trapped in the net of your moving eyebrows. Thief, why do you tease us in this way?" Krishna says, smiling, "Lalita, persons like me do not rob from women." Vishakha says, "Oh, saint, that is certainly true. The Kadamba here bears witness that it is true." Krishna says, "Friend, what will make you think that I am pure and saintly?" Then Krishna tries to speak some clever words to Srimati Radharani, but Lalita Devi stops him. And finally, Krishna says, "Out of friendship for me, please show me the right path so that I will be an offender no longer." Lalita says, "You should approach the great and pure liberated souls who in secluded places have climbed the mountain of perfection in yoga. Then trembling, you should beg shelter from them, because they are very kind and virtuous. They will help even a sinner." Krishna says, "What you teach is right." Then he folds his hands and he approaches Radha. And then he reaches out to place his hand on her. And Radha says, "Handsome one, this is not right." And she removes Krishna's hand and disappears into the trees. And Krishna, observing Radha's departure, becomes very alarmed and says, "Where did my dear friend go?" And Lalita said, "Charming one, when we find her, we will tell you." And they approach Radha from behind and they say, "Friend Radha, now is your chance to tease the playful joker Krishna. For a moment, hide what you really feel." Radhika says, cunningly moving her eyebrows, "Lalita, why do you say I should tease him? It is not right for a person like me to mistreat anyone." "I will leave at once," Lalita says. "A boy with the face like the moon, although she yearns to speak to you, our friend is afraid." Krishna says, "Friend, there is no need to fear a submissive servant. She may order me as she likes." Then Lalita says, Here is her message. She says, "My heart is tossed by waves of fear. My hands tremble. My throat is choked. My head is spinning. O Prince of Braj, I have no power to do great deeds. From far away, you have come here at night. Please forgive me." Krishna says, "I don't know whether she's joking or showing good manners." Radhika becomes partly visible and she says, "Friend, quickly, send him away. No one should see him." Krishna unhappily says, "Girls are very fickle in love. What is not possible for them?" And then openly he said, "You called me to your side, O Radha. Is it right to leave my desires unfulfilled? As iron is drawn to a magnet, I am drawn to you. Why do you run away and hide?" And Lalita says, "Bliss of Gokul, why do you blame Radha? You should blame your own sin. That sin is the obstacle to stop you." Then Lalita says to Radha, "You should leave this place." And Radha says, "With my own mouth I will say something and then I will go." So she looks at Lalita, because remember, Lalita has been the one who told her to trick Krishna. So she says, "Lalita, my glories always stay in the mouth of the circle of saintly ladies. My family is free from any impurity. My husband has all glory and opulence. Still, he whose restless eyebrows defeat even Kamadev's bow brings sorrow to my worthless heart." Krishna glances at Radha and then he sighs and says to himself, touched by her restless sidelong glances, Radha's earrings are now dark like emeralds. Within the words of this girl with beautiful eyebrows, a smile now glistens. "My heart, please do not be unhappy. I suspect her rejection of me is a pretense created by her friend's advice." Lalita looks at Krishna's face and whispers to Vishakha, "Vishakha, by looking at him, I know that Krishna has uncovered our secret." Vishakha says, "Yes, it is true." Then Krishna smiles and he says, "Lalita, you cannot trick me with these words. A spider cannot weave a web that will catch an elephant." Vishakha says, "Friend Radha, your teasing now will be useless. At once, fulfill your beloved's desire." And then she says to Krishna, "Please be calm. Please be like a perfect gentleman." And Krishna says, "By nature I'm very calm. So now I will become like the blue lotus garland resting on Radha's heart." Then Krishna slowly walks towards Radha. And Radha backs away and says, "Vishakha, I am very afraid. Why do you abandon me?" And Lalita says, "Radha, her name is Vishakha. Vishakha also means without any hands. So how can she protect you? Accept this garland. It will protect you. You can see it attracts all the black bees." Radha says with affectionate anger, "Oh Lalita, with the use of your harsh words, your desires are now fulfilled, but still you do not go away. because there was an indirect meaning of accepting Krishna in accepting the garland. Vishakha says, Radha Krishna has begun a Vedic ritual to bring fearlessness to all the people of Gokul, so you need not be afraid. Krishna says, beautiful Radha, you are so much stronger than me. Why do you fear me? Staying in your beautiful flower-like eyebrows, the Kaliya snake surrounds me. And staying in the corner of your eyes, Dhenukasura attacks me. And staying in your beautiful hair, Pralambrasura makes me powerless. Though I once defeated all of them, they all now defeat me. Lalita says, how can Radha be stronger than you? No one has the power to rob you of your glories. Vishakha says, friend Krishna loves the noble swan of his devotees. So why, even though you yearn to bind him with the flowering vines of your arms, does the swan of your heart not go to him? O girl with a beautiful face, desiring a peaceful and happy life, would not you should turn from these dishonest tricks? So now Vishakha is trying to push Radha, and Radha says, Vishakha, the breeze from the poison flower vine of Lalita has poisoned me. Krishna says, Lalita, why does Radha not allow me to dive into the nectar of her mercy? Why does she make me wait at the shore? Lalita says, Krishna, give up trying to trick us. My dear friend is not like Chandravali, who gives her mercy the moment she is asked. Krishna says, how does one attain my dear friend's mercy? Lalita says, by constant service. Krishna joyfully glances at Radha and says, O friend with beautiful limbs, can I please draw some sandalwood paste pictures on your body? Or shall I decorate your beautiful hair with flowers? Radhika turns away playfully and she points the finger at Lalita and she says, crooked wretch, you will remember this moment. Now I will go home. I will escape from the hands of you crooked girls. Lalita pulls the corner of Radha's garment and says, friend, don't go home. With the swan of my hand I will stop you. Krishna says, let go of the edge of my... Radhika says, let go of the edge of my clothing. Let go. When I leave this place, I will tell noble Purnamasi about all this. And then, all of a sudden, off stage, the voice of elderly Mukara can be heard saying, great-granddaughter Lalita, where is your dear friend Radha? Lalita says, oh no, no, here comes Mukara. Krishna says, I should run far away, and he runs. Mukara enters. She's glancing ahead. She's a little bit blind. She's not got very good eyesight, and she's very kind of hard at working things out. So she says, she becomes a little doubtful, and she says to herself, something that looks like a sapphire pillar attracts my eyes from afar. It must be Krishna. He has a wonderful sweet fragrance. Then Krishna comes a little closer and he says, noble lady. And Mukara with pretended harshness says, who mumbles noble lady? And Krishna says, oh saintly Mukara, may you be very happy. Mukara says, charming boy, how can we be happy when your flute refuses to be silent? Krishna says, noble lady, did my flute offend you? Okara says, "You go and ask the girls in Gokul. Whenever the sound of your flute approaches their ears, these girls just run off into the forest, even though again and again we try to stop them." Krishna laughs and he says, "Mukara, your name is very appropriate." And she says, "Charming boy, your coming here in the night frightens me." Krishna says, "Mukara, you are afraid for no reason. You see, Purnamasi told me there was a wonderful doe wandering here." Mukara says, "Charming boy, you can look for the doe tomorrow morning. For now, go home." Krishna says, "Old lady, you are as hard as a ram's horn, but I trust you. I will go now." And Krishna disappears into the forest. Mukara says, "Lalita, did Krishna really go?" Lalita says, "Yes, he did." Krishna says, "This old lady is upset. I will remain silent, but I will tug at Radha's clothing." So he does that. He starts pulling at her cloth. And Mukara, her eyes open wide with anger, she says, "Rascal Lalita, I see Krishna tugging at the edge of Radha's clothing. Why do you try to fool me?" And Lalita, Krishna becomes a little frightened and he runs back again. Lalita says, "At night this old lady is almost blind. I will easily trick her." So she angrily speaks out and she says, "Blind old lady, you worry without reason. This is a tamal tree by the Jamuna, and this golden bench is at the tree's roots. And moving in the wind, the tree's branches are tugging at this girl's clothing." Mukara says aside, "She isn't lying." And then she says, "Child, I'm very upset, but I will go home now. I will go to sleep." And she exits. And then Krishna says, glancing at the garland that Radha is wearing, he says, "O girl with beautiful eyes," because now Mukara has gone, "I think these rangana flowers, which were given, remember, by his garland earlier, he took it off in bewilderment and it went to Radha. He says, "I think that these rangana flowers must have for a long time performed many pious deeds at the best of holy places, and so now they enjoy the pleasure of directly touching you. I myself am not allowed to touch." And Radhika says, "Please, take this rangana garland from my neck and place that priceless gunja necklace there instead. These rangana flowers are dried up." And she takes it off. And Vishakha says, "Oh, bliss of Gokul, my dear friend is angry with me. She wants the gunja necklace." Krishna is wearing it. Krishna says, "Radha, come here. I will give you the gunja necklace." Radha says, "On the pretext of giving this necklace, Krishna is touching me." She knits her eyebrows. Vishakha says, "Radha, did you get what you wanted?" Radha, biting her lips, she says, "Arrogant girl." And she strikes Vishakha with a pastime. She has a little lotus. She hits Vishakha with it because she becomes shy. And Vishakha laughs and says, "Fearless one, don't be angry. I was only asking about the gunja necklace." And Krishna says, "What austerity should I perform that I may be struck by your lotus flower? Please strike me, even if only with the restless glance from your beautiful eyes." Lalita says, "Krishna, you have offered yourself," she says to Lalita, "Radha, you have offered yourself to Krishna. Why are you such a miser that you will not even look at him. A person who gives away a Chintamani jewel should not refuse to give the case that the jewel is in. Radhika says, Lalita, don't blaspheme my elders by talking in this way. Vishakha says, why are you afraid? Purnamasi is expert at pacifying your elders. And Lalita says, looking very carefully, in a peaceful way, ah, now with a smiling sidelong glance, my dear friend embraces Krishna. Then the two gopi girls say, oh, look, the melting jewels on the altar to the sun god. Oh, they're washing away. Quickly, we should leave immediately. And both the girls leave so that only Radha is finally there with Krishna. Krishna says, beloved, don't leave me now. And he holds the edge of her garment. Radhika says, let go. Let go. My friends are calling me. Krishna says, cruel girl, don't lie to me. And Radhika smiles and says, oh goddess Saraswati, I bow down before you. Please show that I speak the truth. Krishna laughs and says, oh girl with a beautiful face, you are like a lotus flower. From far away, a black bee worship the sweetness of your lotus fragrance. Then Krishna says, look, Radha, the moon, its nectar nourished by the ocean, and its moonlight a medicine to cool the lotus flower's fever, has come to the Jamuna's shore. The moon has become the first priest at a yajna the Chandravaka birds will perform. Let us go together to the pavilion in the forest, a pavilion kissed by the light of the beautiful springtime moon. And then Radha and Krishna, finally together, they exit, and everyone exits, and that ends Act 3 of Vidagdha Madhava.